This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Don't ask for opinions. I don't give my friends a call. I have a nice family. I don't listen to them at all. Only just these two guys I found on the internet. Wait until you hear all the dope advice that I get. What do you gotta say, Jake? And I really wanna hear from you, Amir. Cause it's advice that I need. Oh, whoa, if I were you, show.
Yeah! Thoughts?
Well, I love Sublime.
And that's the most I'll compliment this lady. I love her leaping off point. The idea was great. Dan Levy in the house.
Yes, HeadGum Studios.
That's the third Jewish voice you hear. So in case it sounds like there's three people talking, there is. I should say that song was written by Grandmaster Kate.
Ooh, nice name.
Grandmaster Kate. And yeah, as you said, it was a Santeria? No.
What Santeria.
Oh, yeah, it is Santeria.
Yeah.
All right, Santeria parody Santeria. By Sublime. Dan Levy.
Guys, you know lead singer Sublime died?
What?
When?
I think the election stuff sort of taken away from no what shit. Happened, but he's dead.
Yeah, wow. I think it might have been in the 90s, actually.
Really?
Yeah, nearly what? 20 years ago.
No, because when did The Wrong Way come out?
Yeah.
12 years old, no. Two more shall be, no more.
What year do you think Bradley from Sublime died?
1994.
I'm going to say 96.
96 is correct.
Oh, what do I win?
Thanks for coming on When Damn, Do These People dude. Die podcast.
You know what? 94 was Kurt Cobain, I think.
Oh. Oh,
yeah. You should really mix those two up. Someone's not a music snob like me. I like Yellow Card.
When did the guy from Yellow Card die?
Yellow Card. He's died today.
Ryan Key?
Whoa! You know his name?
Let me check. My old roommate in college was obsessed with Yellow Card.
There's one with the
yeah, Ryan Key.
Is he alive?
Ryan Key is still alive.
Still alive. I love that. Dun, 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 dun. There's a place called Ocean Avenue. I love all that kind of music. But then I found out that guy was an asshole.
Really?
I heard through the pop. Punk
it's not like
world.
It's not like Woody Allen. We're like, now I don't know whether to appreciate his art. Like, I found out that Ryan Key from Yellow Card was an asshole. Actually, now I don't
what
know if I
asshole?
Can listen to Yellow
Card. I heard
Card.
In the pop punk scene, he was like selfish and like would like trash hotel rooms and just didn't respect the other bands.
Isn't that every musician?
No, but I think.
But he didn't deserve it at all.
Yeah, and they were at this moment where Yellow Card was like blowing up, and he kind of went nuts. This is all hearsay from people who don't matter. But anyways, apparently
it's a rumor started by the starting line.
Yeah. So when Yellow Card started going down, no one cared.
Yeah.
They were like, fuck you.
Yeah, fuck
but
you.
But I still love that song.
Ryan Key.
Ocean yeah. Avenue, yeah.
Dan Levy, how would people know who you are? Why are you on our show? Obviously, we're friends. I mean, you're here for a reason. But
yeah, I'm here for a reason. I'm here to promote my comedy special.
So you are a comedian.
I'm a comedian.
You're a jokester.
I'm a jokester.
You're a professional jokesman.
I'm a professional jokesman.
In what capacity?
I do stand-up comedy.
Old school shit.
Old school shit. I wear a suit.
Remember when Jake and I did like old College Humor live shows with you?
Oh, I was thinking that as I was driving over here.
Yeah, that was fun.
College Humor. The other day I got an email from Tumblr that said, you haven't been on College Humor Live lately.
I was College Humor Live.
College Humor Live.
God.
Meanwhile, those shows were amazing if you look back.
Yeah, yeah, that was super fun.
We were on the shows. Aziz was on the shows.
Yeah, Mulaney.
John Mulaney. They were great shows.
Me and Jake did not deserve to like MC this night of comedy.
Yeah.
We had never like performed before.
We did a show
before.
With like you and Anthony Jeselnik. Pete like, Holmes was on a bunch of them.
They were so good. I remember there was one that I did with John Mulaney and Nick Kroll and Colin Quinn. Was like,
oh yeah, Colin Quinn.
Colin Quinn. I hosted it and Reggie Watts. That was
Jesus.
The show. And Kyle, it was the day that Owen Wilson tried to kill himself.
Holy shit!
And Colin, we did this show in like a basketball arena, and Colin Quinn came out, and it was like I think it was like half full or something,
half empty.
Half empty. and Colin Quinn came out, and he's like, ugh. Owen Wilson tried to kill himself today. He should have my career.
He should have my career.
It was the funniest. I was like screaming laughing. It was, but that was the thing with those College Humor live shows. Like they never knew like what would happen.
It was, you know, like, it was the mid-2000s. We didn't know better.
Yeah, they were like, College Humor is popular. Why don't you guys perform in the arena? We're like, yeah. No.
Wait.
Why don't we do a theater? Yeah. Not everyone is going.
And it was just College Humor like thematically, like you didn't work for College Humor, you were just a college comedian.
I was just
type.
Like a comic who was in my 20s,
and then like me and Jake were just like sketch writers. Yeah. Who were like 23.
If you know who Jake and Amir were, it was really bad for us to go on stage. And Amir's like, I love chicken nuggets.
No, sorry, like,
why is this good?
I'm here to see Pete Holmes.
Yeah, it was.
Then Kumail Nanjiani comes out and slays, and we have to go back out after him.
Yeah, and be like, hey, you guys like that video of us in our cubicle? No? Fuck!
Shit, because we were going to show a yet-to-be-released one.
One that wasn't good enough to put out.
I remember I had to do a similar thing. I did comedy one time for MTV Spring Break, but I had to warm up the crowd in Atlantic City. It reminded me of that because I had to go out on stage, and they were like, hey, you know, this crowd doesn't really want stand-up. You should probably just, like, you know, give them some candy and just, like... clap.
They're trick-or-treating, not really at a comedy show.
And I was like, no, they want my comedy. And they're like, no. I'm like, no, they just haven't seen me. They're going to be into it once I really get them going. And I went out there and I was like, so, I forget my joke.
We want candy.
No, literally, I was like, so I, who likes having sex? Or whatever my stupid jokes were at that time. And then they started like booing me and I was like, give me candy. And I ran off and I got a bunch of candy and started throwing candy at all these kids.
They loved you.
It was so embarrassing.
I saw the best comedian ever yesterday. I don't know any of his jokes, but at one point he chucked a Tootsie Roll pop at me.
I just remember one of the shows we did. Do you remember the one we did outdoors at NC State?
Oh, that was terrible.
Yeah,
it was so
freezing.
Cold.
It was so cold. And there
was kind of raining too, right?
Yeah.
It was very uncomfortable. And like, and we were trying to like warm everybody up. And like some dude was like raised his hand. I like put the mic on him. He was like, we're all having fun, but we need to respect what happened at Fort Hood.
Oh yeah.
Like a shooting that day.
Yeah. And, I remember that show because it was so cold and so dark.
God.
Bad. I did so many bad shows during that run of shows.
That could be another podcast that you're talking about coming up with a podcast.
Oh, yeah, just
terrible
bad.
Gigs.
Terrible gigs, yeah.
Because you must have done over 1,000 shows?
I've done over 1,000. Yeah, definitely over 1,000 shows. I did a show one time.
Over 1,000 colleges.
Over 1,000 colleges. Yeah, because I was, I mean, you guys might not remember and the audience might not know, but in 2001, I was the funniest college comedian in America.
Wow.
Oh, shit.
Were you college-aged at that time?
I was 20.
Wow.
No way.
Yeah, I was a sophomore in college.
Holy
shit.
And
I got crowned king.
Wow, that's pretty huge.
Did you go to college at Emerson?
Yeah, I went to Emerson.
Damn, dude.
Yeah, it was. So because of that, I was like, you know, doing all those NACA shows and everything.
Then it's
and I remember I went to one school. It was like Skidmore. Some college I went to. And they were like, hey, you're going to open up for this comedian, Liam. And I was like, Liam? I was like, first of all, I'm the funniest college kid in America. So I'm definitely not opening up for anyone. So I was like such an asshole. I like called like my agent.
You were the Ryan Key of comedy.
Yeah.
Especially because you had an electric fiddle.
Yeah. So I called AJ. I was like, hey, who am I open up for? I haven't even heard of this guy, Liam. Who's Liam? And they're like, I don't know. It's fucking bullshit. You're the fucking college comedian in America. So then they called the college to complain. Like, that was how stupid it was. And then the college was like, no, it's this guy, Liam. He's very famous on YouTube. And this was like early when people weren't famous on YouTube yet.
All right.
And turned out he was the guy with the viral video, Shoes. Remember that video?
Oh,
Shoes.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Shoes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Shoes. Yeah. It was a really funny video. So I was like, they're like, he needs to open up for him because people are really amped to see the Shoes guy. And I was like, oh, fuck, you know, what the fuck? Fine. So then I go there and I meet him. He's actually super nice.
Uh-huh.
But again, I had the attitude of like, I'm going to go on first. And I'm going to just do my jokes. People are going to love me. And as soon as I get on stage, I'm
really
like, how's it going? They're like, Shoes! Shoes!
Don't they know that song's 2 minutes long?
Like, no, the best thing about, I swear, what happened.
He played it 10 times.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he came out.
That guy's American. I thought he was British.
He came out, this guy Liam.
Yeah, Liam Sullivan.
Liam Sullivan. He was really funny. He came out, he sang this Shoes song.
Oh, my God, Shoes.
Oh, my God, Shoes. People went crazy, right? I'm watching, and I'm like, oh, this is pretty good. Then he's like, check out this movie. Then he played the Shoes song on the video of it, people were still going crazy. Then he was like, who wants to sing the shoe song? And the kids were going crazy. Then he brings people on stage. They sing the shoe song.
Oh, my God.
And I'm in the back, like, you know, eating a granola bar, being like, are you fucking kidding me? This guy's probably making like $20,000.
He's doing the same set, 3-minute set, so eight times in
over
a row.
And over
part
again.
Of his set is just other people doing his set for him while he hangs out.
It was these shoes
great.
Suck.
These shoes suck. These shoes are great.
So, Dan, I don't know if you know this about us, but this is actually an advice podcast.
I do know that.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, people will email us, and they're in sticky situations asking for our guidance, our advice. They'll email ifireyoushow@gmail.com. Jake and I comb through tens of thousands of questions.
It's true.
Come up with, let's say, 3 to 4 interesting ones. Try to answer it. Sometimes it's just us two. Sometimes we have a friend in the house. Today we have you.
Yes.
You're slightly older than us, probably slightly wiser than us.
Oh, I'm so much wiser.
You're a father of two.
Father of two.
What, two?
Yeah.
I didn't realize you had a second.
You not follow me on Instagram?
I should.
Yeah, yeah. I have two kids. I have 3-year-old and 1-year-old.
So there we go.
Shit. Are they both boys?
No, 1-year-old's girl.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah, it's very cute. It's so cute. Damn. Having kids is very cute. Who's That's my advice to you guys.
Who's
have
your,
kids.
Who's your favorite?
Abe's pretty cool.
Yeah.
No. The girl hasn't done much
no,
yet.
No, no, yeah. She's one, so she is just kind of like,
she's
you
playing
know,
catch up.
She basically just sits around and, you know, eats hummus with a straw.
Oh, that's awesome. She is Israeli.
Yeah, she is very Israeli.
You going for three?
No.
Two and down.
Yeah, four.
Two and out.
No, three's too many.
Three is too many.
Can't handle
yeah.
it.
I don't understand people who have two and they're like, let's get one more.
No, I'm so tired. I can't even.
Yeah. What imagine. Would three do?
I don't know. I don't know what to do with third one.
Well, at a certain point, Abe would be old enough to watch the other one.
He's three. It's gonna be a long time. Yeah, what do we do for like years. 10 years?
Yeah, you got to wait like 8 years and then have another set of two.
Yeah, because like today I'm with Abe. We went to the mall, hung out at Disney Store, and did a bunch of stuff. And then Rachel is with Romy. And then you know we had a third kid. Who would be the third kid?
You need a third parent.
Yeah,
you need another parent.
You got maybe just a kid who comes here as opposed to a podcast, make some money.
Oh, you and Abe should have a podcast.
Oh,
a
baby cast.
Oh.
That's the idea.
All right. Let's try to answer some questions. Okay. These people are in need of our advice. Let's start with someone. Oh, this is a love question that seems to be up your alley. We're going to give this guy a fake name just to preserve his anonymity. Do you have a fake name for this guy? It could be anything.
Dan.
That's really original.
Name. Oh, that's going to be confusing. You're right. Okay. How about Owen?
Owen is good.
Yeah. I like that.
Okay, Owen.
Owen Dan.
Owen Daniels. Right. You guys are absolutely hilarious. I'm wondering if it's time for me to say I love you to my girlfriend.
Right to the point.
We have been dating for over a month now, and to be honest, I feel like I'm falling in love with her. That being said, the idea of saying I love you to someone scares me because I feel like it takes the relationship to a whole new level. And I don't know if I'm ready for that level of emotional commitment. She has never said I love you to me, but she has started to call me love. She'll say things like, good night, love. So it seems like she's setting me up perfectly to confess my love for her. Also, I feel like in every way, she's the quote-unquote man of the relationship. She was the one who asked me out. She pays for herself on dates. She made the move that led to our first kiss. Plus, she's 6'3" and way more athletic than I am.
Oh, shit.
Awesome.
She even told me that she used to get in fights in high school. I've never been in a fight in my life. I'm softer than a sponge cake. Do I need to man up and tell her that I love her? Please help. Thanks. Love, Owen.
Whoa, this guy has actually seemed like he's in a lot of help.
He's confused for sure.
Yeah, he's,
I like imagining him like sort of like Thumbelina.
Oh, he's a
really,
man.
Really tiny.
2 inches.
Yeah. First of all, she's so tall. My question is like, how old is he though?
Because. There we go. The next email says, just some background information about me.
Nice.
I am a 19-year-old and a college student. This is my first girlfriend. She lives about an hour away, so our conversations are over text or Snapchat, but we see each other in person about once a week.
Okay. I would not say I love you yet.
Yeah, because
he said
they've been dating a month. They see each other once a week. So he's seen her 4 times.
He's seen her only 4 times. Definitely don't say I love you.
Because you don't.
Because you definitely don't. And also, you're 19, so nothing matters.
That's how you talk to your son.
Holy shit, what just happened?
Oh, no.
Something crazy.
Yeah, you can't. It's hard to. Your life. Yeah, I mean.
You're three. Nothing matters yet.
Nothing matters yet. Just, you know.
So, would you say a month is too early for even somebody older than 19?
I would say if, like, you're in your 30s and you've been sort of, like, dating and you're trying – and you know exactly what you want, then maybe a month you might be like, oh, wow, I think I'm, like, falling. I'm falling in love with this person. I don't think totally. After a month you go, I love you. I think Owen needs to fucking get his shit together because I don't think he is in love with this person. I think she's maybe intimidating him because she's 7 feet tall.
Yeah, but she's done, she's like, everything four. First, so he's trying to beat her to just one thing.
Oh, yeah. Which is not a bad idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, do you remember saying I love you for the first time to your wife?
I think so.
But it wasn't as memorable as proposing that you remember every detail.
I think she
detail.
Said to me one time when she was sleeping.
Oh.
She said it to you while she was asleep?
While she was asleep. She like, thought sleep, I was sleeping.
That's yeah. so cute.
It's pretty cute, right?
So remember how into the relationship
Did you
was?
Shoot awake and let her, would you like, I got you?
No, I just was like, oh, shit. You know, and then because you it was.
Really
was
pretended like, to be asleep?
I pretended to be asleep.
Yeah. really fake year. Snoring?
Yeah.
I wonder what percentage it is that girls say it first versus guys. You think it's mostly guys or mostly girls?
I think it's probably, you know what? I have no idea.
It's a hard
probably
one.
Probably guys.
Because girls are, like, maybe more willing to talk about their feelings.
Yeah.
But so, like but I also dudes at like, this age are like, you know, like, whatever. Like, I don't know. We'll
well,
see.
I think girls are more likely to talk about their feelings, but I also feel like guys, girls are also, from I guess when a girl is, like, very aware of, like, how men are, I feel like she's not going right. to say I love you because she knows that will be that could scare them off.
Right.
Which means the guy. Because
like you said, it takes it to a new level.
Yeah, it does take it to a new level.
Does it? Do you guys
not
agree
when
with
you're
that?
19 though? Because Owen, your life doesn't matter. just so we're I very clear about Owen's life.
I mean, at 19, you weren't even the college comedy student of the year.
No,
you were a year out from that.
Yeah, I was a year away.
do you recommend waiting until it's like a more real relationship?
If I was going to be, like, real serious with him, I would say, Owen, you're basically in a long-distance relationship, and you're in college, and that's my biggest mistake in my life, is I had a lot of long-distance relationships. So I would not only – I would say not only are you not in love with her, I would break up with her.
The full 180.
The full 180. You agree with me.
Yeah,
relationships are the worst.
I do. I advise anybody in college in a long-distance relationship
so
to break up.
I'm so mad I didn't have an older brother who didn't just say, hey – don't date your high school girlfriend for a year in college and then don't meet another girl and date her while you're in Boston. She's in Philadelphia. And then when you break up, don't start dating someone in Canada.
How did you do that?
I'm a fucking idiot.
Because you're touring, dude.
Ugh.
I mean, yeah, I would go so far as to say, like, don't even have a girlfriend until you're, like, 26.
Oh.
Oh, wow. That's but, like I was more of a relationship person, though. Like, I was more like – Owen,
yeah, it sounds
you know?
Like it. If you had a girl in
I was
Boston,
too, but I look back on my life and
Philly,
I had
Canada.
I think I was having more fun when I was single than when I was in relationships.
Well, yeah, but you were just always well, that's who you are though.
Some people would say the opposite. They have more fun in relationships.
That's true.
That's crazy.
They have more sex in relationships.
That's crazy.
But it's definitely a large part of the population.
I mean, I've been fucking all day, guys.
Hell yeah, dude.
Awesome.
You know what I'm talking about.
How long have you been married?
I've been married 6 years. Although in my special, I said 7. I was wrong. And Rachel was there. And she was like, and I did 2 shows. And she didn't correct me.
Oh, yeah. Really?
And she was like, I don't know why you keep saying 7 years. I've been married for 6 years. And I was like, oh, fuck. Not that anyone cares about that.
7 sounds pretty good, though.
7 sounds more legit.
6 and 7 are so interchangeable in terms of relationships.
Exactly.
Yeah. Plus, but you've known her longer than that.
We've been together for a very long time.
Yeah. Anything we haven't said about the topic of saying I love you?
Don't say it. Break up. I'm with Dan.
All right. There you have it. All right. Here's a less relationship-y question. Different guy's name.
Ooh. Theodore.
Theodore writes, I'm in a quandary that could soil my reputation forever. I've had my Twitter for 5 years now, and I've never come up with a good bio.
Wait, sorry. Start this over, because that's insane.
I'm in a quandary that could soil my reputation forever.
All right.
I've had Twitter for 5 years, and I've never come up with a good bio. I have a filler right now until I can come up with something great. I'm thinking something witty, memorable, shows off my personality. I don't want to do the classic bio that lists a series of descriptions about me. I want something different. You two seem like you have a creative enough mind to help me out. So, here's my question. How do you guys create your Twitter bios? Do you go for something funny or straightforward? Also, if you have the chance on the podcast, could you look at mine and give me advice on how it could be changed?
Ooh.
Is this a suicide note?
a suicide tweet?
Without outing who he is, I looked up his Twitter bio.
Okay.
Danger enthusiast.
Uh-oh.
That's biting off mine a little bit.
So, Dan, do you know your Twitter bio is?
My Twitter bio, I think...
I can tell you what it is
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, tell it is.
CISO comedy special, Dan Levy, colon Lion, November 17th, number one king on Snapchat.
That's true. That's true. That's what my
number one king.
Number one king. That is a fact. Don't Google it.
Jake's is...
Wait, I just want to say that this guy, I think, took his Twitter bio from my Instagram bio, which is just enthusiast.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, that's a like, good one, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a nice Instagram bio, but my Twitter bio,
Your Twitter bio is, I am a comedy writer who loves Annie's macaroni and cheese.
Accurate.
Pretty good. My friend, Annie, she thinks she loves writing people's Twitter bios, so we can maybe hook this guy with
Oh,
her.
Really?
Oh, shit.
She told me that my Twitter bio should be goofball with an edge.
I love that.
Twitter bio expert.
Isn't that
goofball
amazing?
With an edge.
Theodore could take that. That's pretty good.
Yeah, you can take that, Theodore.
So what does that mean? That means goofball like silly, but...
It means you're silly, but like, hey, I'm also serious.
Like, yeah. Like, yo, I'm the number one king of Snapchat.
Exactly. Go on my Snapchat.
You're goofy. I mean, I could definitely. You're wacky, but you're cool. You have a bomber jacket on. That's hip.
Should I fucking delete my entire thing and just put up? I was waiting to do it, but I, you know, got to promote the special. So
yeah, you should. I mean, what's your Twitter bio?
Oh, mine is Chill Dude, which I think it was when we made the Twitter account for the video we made in like 2007.
I think the funniest thing about your Twitter page is just at the top is a giant cookie.
Yeah, my. What is this called? Headline photo?
Yeah.
It's just a high-res image of a chocolate chip cookie.
I love chocolate chip cookies. It's a good thing. People, who doesn't like chocolate chip cookies?
Do you have a pinned tweet?
I do have a pinned tweet. Do you have a pinned tweet?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Do you have a pinned tweet?
Me?
Jake?
No.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways.
Also, I haven't tweeted in a while. I got trashed during the election, and that was the first tweet that I tweeted that wasn't like a promotional one.
Hey guys, it honestly helps if you get drunk was Jake's election night tweet.
Yeah. I really was very drunk when I tweeted that.
You were so drunk you tweeted.
Yeah. I know.
I didn't know what else to fucking do.
So can we think three comedy writers? Can we think of a goofball with an edge for this guy?
Okay. So what does he do?
What's his brand?
God.
Come on.
Let me look up his page. I think he's a coal worker in West Virginia.
Awesome.
No, I don't think so. He's from South Carolina.
All right.
He seems to be kind of cool. Like his picture is like a black and white.
Oh, he looks like a cool guy.
Yeah, sort of a cool guy with a beard.
Oh, that's
Wait,
a solid bio.
That's it.
What
cool
is it?
Guy with a beard.
Cool guy with a beard.
That is it.
Cold guy with a beard.
Oh, C-O-L.
Guy with a beard.
No, yeah, cool yeah. guy with a beard is pretty good.
Cool guy with a beard.
Cool guy with a beard?
Yeah. Or
is
just,
that edgy
or just
enough?
Don't judge my beard.
Oh, what about coolest guy with a beard?
Or judge that's me by good. My beard.
Judge me by my beard. Judge me by my beard is great.
I like judge me by my beard.
I okay. love that.
Coolest guy with a beard too is good.
Yeah, that's sort of, I like calling yourself the best in some, like how yours is number one king of Snapchat.
Yeah. How about best beard in Hollywood, even though he doesn't live in LA.
Oh, that's good. Voted best beard by.
Yeah, voted best beard by Beard Monthly.
Oh, that's pretty good. Let me see his beard. Can I see how good it is?
It's not that good, actually. I mean, it is a good beard, but it's not like a beard.
Yeah, how about number one beard in Northeast?
in South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Exactly. You got to throw people off.
That's edgy. All right. Hopefully we gave him something. Let's take a break and come back with more with Dan Levy.
Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp,
right.
you just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to betterhelp.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. Hey, we're back with Dan Levy. Let me ask you one more advice question, since we only have you for so long. Another guy's name.
He's shitting it out.
Horse writes, newish listeners and won't hear this until I catch up, but I have an interesting question. I was engaged in a 3-year relationship. I broke it off because it was unhealthy and marriage wouldn't fix it. I find myself months later going through Tinder and messaging and matching, but not knowing what I want from it. It isn't so much the wanting to jump in a new boat or to go out and smash. Most women my age are looking to settle down. Should I be upfront with my I don't know what I want intentions, or should I just be in the moment? Thanks for the help. Insert fake name here, which is Horse.
Horse.
Yeah. So this guy is basically asking, he's out of a relationship. He's going out on these dates. Does he have to like clarify right off the bat, hey, I don't want to be anybody's boyfriend? Or does that just come up organically?
Hmm. This sounds like an Amir Blumenfeld problem.
Yeah. It feels like, I don't know. I feel like...
When do you bring it up, basically?
It's hard because it's such a... You're going to be an asshole.
Mm-hmm. Either way.
I feel like if it's... I mean, I never did that, so I just don't know. I feel like...
You went straight from relationship to marriage.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I almost feel like, and I feel like maybe you could answer this better than I can, but it's like I almost feel like in those, if you're only looking to hook up and quote smash,
yeah,
then it seems like you should just be doing like the quick, like I don't know, Tinder, Bumble things, and don't keep on hooking up with the same person, because I feel like once you're hooking up with the person more than once, it's
yeah,
like,
once you start going down the line and then you say, you know what, I'm really only looking for something casual. Well, what we've been doing for months like and weeks isn't casual. We've been dating.
I have a friend who's always like, oh, yeah, I'm dating this girl. Now she's like so bummed that we're breaking up. It's like, well, yeah, because you're a really good catch. And then once you're like, oh, I don't want to be serious, like, wait, but like we've been together every night.
Yeah.
Because guys are so terrible. That's what they do. They're like, I don't get it. It's like, I mean, what, she meets my parents and now like I have to be her boyfriend?
Yes. Exactly.
That is a dilemma I faced before, where it's like, oh, I like hanging out with you, but I don't want to be in a relationship with you.
But I still want to keep hanging out.
But also,
with you.
If you are hanging out all the time, you're in a relationship with that person.
Right. But not if, I guess, then at a certain point, you have to cut it off before, like, there's like milestones. So let's say I was hanging out with someone for a couple months and then their parents come into town. And I'm like, oh, that seems like a big deal. Like, I don't necessarily want to meet the parents. Maybe I should have this conversation.
But have you seen the Ben Stiller movie?
You know, Meet the Parents?
Mm-hmm.
I have not. So what I've been doing is I've been cutting things off way too soon. I'd rather cut it off too early than too late.
But then you don't know if you're with someone who you could be falling in love with.
Exactly. That's the rub. So I'm cutting off maybe mediocre, potential, good, but not greats. And I don't know what they're capable of developing into, because I fear getting too far down the relationships that I don't necessarily want to be 100% invested in.
Well, you want to be alone in your house in Silver Lake forever?
That's the goal. I mean, obviously that's a dream, but I don't know if I can make it a reality. I don't know. In my brain, it's like, I will find someone that I do want to meet their parents that doesn't freak me out with. And then that's the one
Any of the people that you've been with for many years ever, like, had you ever known that right away?
I guess the ones that lasted several years, I was excited to take these next steps with. But I was also like 22, 25, and 28. Yeah, so like, I was younger then. So I just like felt like this is part of the plan.
I worry about you. I don't think you're going to give anybody a shot.
Yeah, in my brain, it has to be great.
And I know, I don't know if you think the same thing about him, because I don't know your personal life really, but I feel like what happens is, as you get older and you know, you're more successful and stuff, and like, you start to have these things that you expect the girl to have, and I feel like these girls who these guys are sort of like creating, like weird sciencing, they become impossible.
Oh, like, I want a girl who's great here and also great here and also great here.
Yeah, because now you're getting older and you're like experiencing different things, and you're like, oh, I like this person, but not this person. But like, when I was 25, all I cared about was this. But
I really like the term weird sciencing. But it's so true.
You really are trying, and I have friends who do this. Like, you're trying to weird science the perfect girl, but the truth is, like, the perfect girl happens when you're together and you guys like create it together.
Oh,
you know?
They have to weird science themselves with me, and I become weird scienced to them.
Yeah, you can't just like,
right, because you're not the kind of guy that could be weird scienced into existence either.
But I'm a very specific person, so if you're looking for that,
I'm looking for a beautiful,
I want
talented,
her body with
funny,
her religion,
super business savvy girlfriend who likes a guy who's kind of annoying.
This is my personal ad. This is my Tinder bio, and fuck it, my Twitter bio
too.
How's that goofy with an edge? So this guy's specific question is, should I be upfront or not mention it? A lot of it is also like how you date someone. Like, is it like, hey, midnight, come on down and meet me and my buddies at a bar? Or is it like, hey, 7 p.m. on a Tuesday, I want to take you out to dinner? The expectations there are probably different. So I feel like if you're taking someone out to dinner or like hanging out with them at a museum during the day, those feel like legit relationship steps.
Right.
But if you're just like texting her at 12:43, hey, are you up? Then it's like the unspoken rule of, this is probably not a serious thing, is conveyed without him having to say it.
Yeah, I think that you're better to answer this question.
I will take a pass.
Because I will tell him that I think that he should not be upfront and just date these girls and see if they're actually like cool, and then just date them for real and get married and have two kids and live in the valley.
I agree with that up until a point. Like, I don't think you have to say anything upfront as long as you're honest sort of throughout. Like, nobody's it's not a rule that you have to state your expectations in the beginning, but like, as they come up, then it's good. It's the pure heart rule that I talk about. I benefited always from like having a despicable reputation. So nobody ever like thought that I was trying to date them.
What about girls on Tinder that don't necessarily know your reputation? Like, how do you say your reputation out loud? Do you hope that they just know it?
I don't think I've ever had a problem with people figuring out my reputation in the very early stages of like a Tinder date. Also, Tinder is like, That's way more casual. I think if you're matching and going out with somebody on Tinder, then you don't have to like, your bio on Tinder doesn't have to be like, I'm looking for something casual.
Right.
That's what everybody's doing.
It is kind of weird, like the idea of casual, like I'm going on dates with someone, like how, is that casual or is that normal? It's still the same amount of dates. There are still dates. I'm still hanging out with someone. What does it mean that
what's
like
casual about?
I think casual is just like a nice way of saying like, hey, I just want to hook up with you.
Yeah, exactly. It's basically saying I don't want to be in a relationship. Yeah.
What
but
I like
do...
Tinder for is the amount of people that I can fuck.
Tinder.
But there
seems...
are plenty of girls that like Tinder for that too.
Tinder is just like Uber for fucking, right?
It used to be, but I think now it's used as a dating app. So like people, it's not a foregone conclusion.
It's like,
I thought Bumble was a thing to actually try to meet people.
Yeah, I think they're all sort of for trying to meet people and sort of for trying to fuck people. And everybody's using them for their own purposes. So, and it's pretty easy to deduce like the kind of date it's going to be.
Yeah, and it's also
I guess I agree with what you're saying. Like if somebody says let's go take a walk in the park, I would probably be like, this isn't.
There's also girls that seem very sweet that I feel like those are the ones that I like want to like be upfront with, because like they don't look like party girls that are down to hang out casual.
This is the thing I don't understand. Is that really all you want though?
Well, not necessarily.
A party girl?
No. I'm just saying there's a way to...
You do mostly want a party girl.
Yeah, right now I do mostly want a party girl.
Really?
But at the same time, if I met...
But hasn't it been right now for the last 3 years?
Yeah. But I haven't met anyone where I'm like, oh, I'd be down to be in a relationship
like
with this
person.
But isn't that because you're...
Like, is a girl who's going to, like, do coke off your dick or stuff? Like, what are you talking about?
It's someone that wants to casually hook up without necessarily, like, meeting my family.
Oh, okay. But your family's so close.
I know. That's hard part. They're
like
always in town.
You're running to the Trader Joe's. Like, fuck, get out of here. Right. Hide in the pretzel aisle.
Yeah. I don't think I've met anyone where the ladies that I've cut off too early, I don't think I don't ever regret being like, shit, what if she's like the one that like I could be engaged to right now?
But you also don't meet with the girls that you think are sweet because you think that you...
No, I wouldn't say I cut off sweet girls before I meet them. I meet everybody, and some are sweet and some are more like...
But you don't follow through on the sweet girls.
Sometimes I do. The lady that I hung out with the last several month period was a sweet lady. She wasn't like a crazy party drunken lady. Social security number, please. Yeah.
Wow.
But it is it's a weird gray area where you want to date someone. Like, I don't want to like not go out on dates, but at the same time, like this person doesn't want to be in a relationship, but dates invariably lead to relationships. So like when do you cut it off? When do you state the case? So I guess my general advice is that to don't lead them on in terms of like how you're meeting them.
Okay.
A lot of late night, a lot of inebriated meetings rather than like sober afternoon movies.
Like, let's get a coffee and go to the movies and then swing by casino and
say, yeah. Say hi to doctor. I think, yeah, that you should save for when you're ready to be in a relationship.
Yeah.
Is my advice. Yay, nay, thoughts, pros, cons?
I guess I would probably abstain from inviting people to like sober-ish dates. But I think you could do something in between like midnight meet up with me and my friends and let's go sit in the park. Drinks.
Yeah, I'm
drinks
just in the so park. Like, I can't, I'm so far away from that. I don't even know.
Are you jealous of people in that relationship? Or are you like so happy you don't have to deal with this shit?
No, it seems too exhausted, too exhausting for me, but only because I'm already exhausted.
Right. You're already
But these are problems that don't matter. And this is like what single people have the most fun doing. It's not actual anxiety, I don't think. I think this is like the most fun thing. We're thinking about the different people this guy gets to fuck. That's the single person's joy.
That's the exciting part.
You have like actual problems like raising children.
Like if your
like
son has an
stakes.
Ear infection.
Like, oh,
shit.
No.
Yeah.
My son has to know about Donald Trump as president when he's like in elementary school.
You have to like get that shit right. Like, if this guy fucks up, then he, like, sort of has one person that's mad at him, and then he gets to adjust moving on. You fuck up with your son, and he's
there every night.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you take your son to the movies and he thinks it's casual, but like you're down to see other three-year-old boys, like yeah. that's going to get weird very
soon.
You
can't weird science a new son.
Can I get a son?
You can't go on Tinder and be like, what other kids are in Los Feliz right now?
I kind of want someone who's a little more athletic. All right, Dan.
Yes.
Tell us about your special before we leave.
Oh, well, it comes out on Thursday in a couple days.
Holy shit. So this is Monday.
This is Monday.
November 14th. Your special comes out.
November 17th.
Thursday, November 17th.
Yeah. It streams on CISO, which is, you know, the new NBC streaming comedy platform.
Of course.
Of course, you guys know.
We did CISO ads.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, before.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. They've been, CISO's great, and I just feel like the special's going to be good.
Is it? Yeah. Was this your first special, second,
it's third? My first hour special. I did like the Comedy Central half hour. I did a Comedy Central hour album. But this is my first like hour special in a theater. I filmed it in Seattle.
Damn. And when you're a stand-up, that's the holy grail. That's the end point, right? Is this hour special, right?
Yeah, I have no more jokes. But yeah, it was good. I mean, I did, you know, I really, because of like writing for the sitcoms and stuff, I haven't really been like touring in years. So last year I kind of like got my shit together and, you know, went on tour and, you know, went to all these different cities and got the hour ready and then filmed it. And it was 6 months ago. I can't believe it's already coming out, but
damn,
I'm proud of it. I think it's good talking about, you know, everything you need to know about me.
Hell yeah.
My wife, my kids, HGTV,
yeah.
My 7-year marriage. And yeah, my love for real estate.
The big five.
The big five.
And again, that special is called?
Dan Levy Lion.
Dan Levy Lion.
What's your favorite HGTV television show?
Property Brothers.
Property Brothers is real good.
Yeah, I love those guys.
What about Fixer favorite? Upper? You like Chip and Joanna?
I like Chip and Joanna. The problem is, and I talk about this in the special, is the problem with all these shows is that living in California, it's very frustrating because everything's so cheap.
Oh, right. When Chip and Joanna fix up like a house in Waco that costs $98,000.
I mean, literally a house in Waco is as much money as you guys pay for the rent at the headquarters. So it's like every episode is like, we're looking for a 6-bedroom house, 6 bathrooms, yeah. 7 acres. Right.
And, yeah. Like, and their reno budget is like double what they pay for the house.
Literally, it's like, and our budget, $2,000.
Well, if you do that, I might as well live in fucking Waco.
I know.
It's but I don't want to do that either.
I don't either. But no, I do love, I like Chip and Joanne. I love the Prop Bros, though, because I like the structure of that show. I love seeing the computer images of what they're going to do. Yeah. I love those. I think those guys are great.
It's really great. That show is funny to me because, like, don't they give the family a tour of a house that, like, that's perfect for them, and then they tell them the price, and the family's like, all
yeah, it's
mad.
Almost like a prank show. It's like, we love it, we want it, ha ha, you can't get it, you're poor. But let me show you this show. Let me show you this house. But then the reality is they take a house and they fucking make it awesome.
Yeah, that's cool.
I actually ran to a couple that I recognized who were on House Hunters, and I took a picture with them.
That's really? So funny. Celebrity couple spotted.
I know. I was would like, they do wait your movie? A minute. Can I? Are you on Houses? Like, yeah. Like, can I take a picture? They're like, okay. It's so weird.
Why'd you choose house number two?
Yeah. What's wrong with you guys?
I heard those shows are like so fake that like they literally move couples out of their own home, show them three houses, and then move them back into the house that they already.
Oh,
chosen.
I'm sure. Because also the show, the HGTV is like so fucking popular now that like they can't keep up the content. You guys know how hard it is to make content. Imagine like, fuck it. Just go into this house. Tell them it's we're gonna reno it when we want, and we'll put up posters. Next house.
It took me like 4 months. I mean, it took me a year and a half to find a house.
I
and
know.
Then like once I found the house, it was like 5 or 6 months of.
Have you seen miniature House Hunters where it's like House Hunters but for tiny homes? I think tiny houses.
Tiny houses. They're like, God. This is perfect for me. It's like a bedroom and a cot.
Oh, that depresses like, me no, so much.
180 square feet. That.
They're like, do you want to kill yourself in this one? This one or this one?
This is my reading chair and also a compost toilet.
Wipe out. All right.
A dog. Fuck off.
Dan, thanks for coming by.
Thank you guys for having me. I love it.
Hell yeah, dude. Dan Levy, Lion, on CISO, Thursday, November 17th. What's your Twitter handle?
@ Dan Levy.
Oh, easy.
Come nice. On. And Snapchat, number one king on Snapchat, guys.
What's your Snappy?
Dan Levy Snappy.
Dan Levy
Dan
Snappy.
Dan Levy Snappy, that's good.
Yeah.
Wait, didn't your Twitter used to be Dan Levy Show?
Yeah.
You got Dan Levy.
You got Dan Levy.
Good
shit.
Hell yeah, dude.
I know, I'm so pumped about
upgrade.
It. I know.
If you have your own questions or your own theme song submissions like Grandmaster Kate, send it all to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. Remember the sublime opening? We heard the first half at the top, and here's the second half. Thanks to Grandmaster Kate. We'll be back this week next Monday. We'll see you next Monday.
Sorry.
Bye, everybody.
Monday. Mondays and Thursdays is when it comes out. It's something I'm excited about. And I seize the cheese, seize the cheese, seize the cheese with Amish and the bench. Ooh, yeah, Ben Schwartz and Thomas Middle Ditch. What do you gotta say, Jake? And I really wanna hear from you, Amir. Cause it's advice that I need. Whoa, whoa, if I were you, show.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.